When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
And you know me, Scott. My name is Ben Bullen. I hang out with you, and I also work for the same website.
Why do you always feel like you need to introduce yourself to me?
What's that?
You always introduce yourself to me before every show.
I have a bizarre form of retrograde amnesia.
I guess I do the same to you, though.
Who are you?
Every time.
Every time.
Anyway, so you know what? I'm excited about today's topic.
I can tell you've got a bit of a glow about it.
Maybe I do. Yeah, that's a condition.
But, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a condition. I'm going to get that taken care of. But the thing that we're going to talk about today is scale model cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty excited about it because I happen to collect them. I haven't seen my collection in about 4 years, though. They've been packed away in the basement in the, you know, just storage bins. Mm-hmm. Everyone wrapped up in a T-shirt, as a matter of fact. So I'm going to get a lot of T-shirts when I finally unpack as well. But I love collecting them. I used to, you know, spend my paycheck, part of my paycheck on these models, you know, every couple of weeks or every month or so.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a lot of places that have some really cool, you know, stuff displayed, unusual things. And digging into this, I found out a lot more about them that, you know, there's another whole world out there that I had no idea that existed.
Absolutely. I had the same experience. And before we go further, we should figure out what type of scale model cars you go for? Because most collectors go for a specific, right?
Yeah, they do.
A
lot of people, they have, and we'll talk about that too, because there's people collect by all different types of parameters, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I had this written down somewhere about how would people do it, but we'll get to it in a minute. But I collect 1/18 scale, and that's relatively big. They're about a foot long each. And they have a moderate amount of detail to them. They're metal. You know, you can usually open the doors and the hood, and there's an engine there. There's, you know, a dashboard that, you know, has, you know, a little bit of detail to it. There's usually seats that have some type of, you know, grain in them and things like that. There's a, I guess moderate is the best way to say it.
Now, are these die-cast?
No, they're not. I don't think they are. I could be wrong in this that, you know, it depends on the brand that you buy.
Sure.
But yeah, I'm sure that, you know, there's some out there that are, but the ones that I collect are, well, you know what? I'm just going to say this. My collection is very eclectic. I have a whole mix. I started out collecting 1/18 scale, and it's over the years, you know, through gifts from, you know, family and friends and, you know, just gathering things along the way, like at auto shows, giveaways.
Sure.
It's kind of it's turned into its own thing, really. I've got a display case for it that's far too small.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's over the years developed, I have many different scales now, different types of things that I initially didn't collect that now I have a few of them. So I don't know if I collect them really or not, but, you know, just some odds and ends, signed pieces and, you know.
Signed pieces?
Yeah, some signed cars. And, you know, if you happen to be in the presence of somebody that, you know, can sign that vehicle for you. Not that I've purchased any like that, but had them signed. Had some, I don't know, like, the cubes of crystal or whatever that material is that they kind of laser cut a design into.
Oh, yes, yes.
I've got a Hemi engine that's in glass. I've got a glass F1 car.
Really?
I've got some unusual things.
You do have some unusual things.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, I would have pegged you maybe as a collector, but not with such eclectic taste.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. It's a big mix right now at this point. All different makes, models, years, vintages, just everything.
But for the record, anyone listening about to mail Scott something, 1/18th. That's the preferred ratio.
That's the preferred ratio. Yeah, that's what I prefer, really.
But you can't turn people down.
And the reason is because you get a little bigger, they get a lot more expensive, and you get a little bit smaller, and you lose a little bit of detail in some cases, unless you're willing to pay for it.
So there's a sweet spot.
There is. Now, obviously someone can put a lot of time into a much smaller model and make it even more dramatic than a 1/18th and, et cetera. But, I don't know. We'll stick with this here. We're gonna go through a list of the typical scales, some of the larger scales, the smaller scales, how they size up, about what they cost, or just ballpark figures on these things. Do you collect anything like that? Even if it's not cars, do you collect anything like that?
I used to build model cars. I think a lot of kids.
The plastic ones.
Yeah. Where all the pieces come in the plastic frame, and you pop them out.
Those are great.
I was an avid fan of those.
Did you blow them all up?
I'm not sure. The only thing I know for sure, I'm not sure what happened to those vehicles that I worked on. But my dad still does that as a hobby.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of a relaxing thing.
The plastic models, the kids? No kidding, that's cool.
Yeah, and he paints them and all that
stuff. That's a good hobby.
I think it's a good hobby. Right now, I'm a little bit concerned that if I started it now, I would do the worst thing you can do and lose one of the pieces before you're done. It's so much worse than losing a piece of a puzzle.
I think you would put a lot of time into it. I bet you it would be pretty spectacular.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
I think you would. I mean, you seem to set your mind to something and do it, right?
Oh, shucks. You're too nice. What's going on?
No, really. I think once you're an adult and you take on something like this, you maybe give a little bit more attention to detail, because when I was a kid, I used to get glue all over the windows and everything, and it was a mess. And I tried to put the stickers on, and they wouldn't quite peel off right, so it'd be a little bit torn. And I tried, when I was young, to build my own, but varying levels of success. I did boats and cars and planes and everything. I don't know what kind of fate those had eventually, but
well, I have glue all over my hands right now.
We moved a lot. Yeah, that's right. We moved a lot, so they probably were just broken and lost.
I am going to perform an important segue into these different classifications.
Thanks for letting us know.
All right. Yeah. I just want everyone to be clear.
Smooth factor.
Yeah. Smooth factor.
Yes,
so 1/18th, when we're saying that, what we're saying is that these are cars that are 18 times smaller than the actual production car.
Correct.
However, they are modeled after real vehicles.
They're scale models, so everything is proportional. So if you had two scale models that were 1/18th scale and you put them side by side, let's say I've got a Cadillac convertible from the 60s and I've got a Dodge Charger from the 60s.
Sure.
They will be proportional to the size. I mean, the Cadillac's going to be a longer vehicle, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also get a good feel for height and width and everything if it's done to scale like it should be.
Right.
They claim to be scale models, so you would hope that they would maintain that. But you can get an idea for the size of vehicles if you have the same scale across the board.
And that's why we have some standardized scales.
Yeah, that's right.
Such as
let's go through the list here. Some of the popular ones, and when I say popular, that means the ones that you'll find probably on like the toy store shelves.
Sure.
Retail stores. That's not a bad place to get them, but I'm gonna tell you about some places later that are better, I think, as far as not that those are bad, it's just that there's a lot more variety out there than you may initially think.
For the intrepid enthusiast.
Exactly. Now, some of the popular ones we mentioned are like 1/43rd, which is smaller than 1/18th.
Right.
And as the bottom number gets bigger here, or smaller rather, the cars get bigger. There's also some of the larger scales. And you know, I'm skipping around a little bit here, but there's some of the larger scales, which are like 1/12 or 1/8. They get up into 1/5, you know, 1/3 even. Mm-hmm. I've seen 1/4 cars. Now the smallest ones. Now these are pretty big. I mean, it seems like I got a bunch of notes about all this stuff. You know, like approximate sizes and everything. But that kind of falls apart when you're talking about, you know, like I mentioned, you could have a Cadillac or you could have an MG Midget, and you know, you can't say like a 1/18 scale model is this size. It just doesn't work that way.
Right.
It's proportional to the way the car really was on the road. But just as a guideline here, you know, the 1/12 scale, the 1/8 scale, you would look at that and say, that's a larger than normal model. It may be a couple of feet long. Mm-hmm. They're really big. They're also often really expensive.
And these, when we're talking on this size, now check me if I'm wrong on this, but we know that some of these larger scale models actually have, industrial uses that, you know, they're not the ones that you get your kid for Christmas. They're the ones that you put in a wind tunnel.
Well, they can be.
They can.
Be, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
You can. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you in a moment about some of these big ones that are very, very expensive. So maybe you didn't know about that. I'll let you in. But the manufacturer, you're absolutely right in that the manufacturers use, I'm just going to guess 1/8 scale models. They're pretty big. They're, you know, 3 to 4 feet long, something like that. They're exact representation of what the vehicle will look like that they're ready to build. And they put them in the wind tunnels and they can, you know, check wind flow over these things using, you've probably seen them sitting in a small wind. It looks like a full size vehicle because they go right down every detail. And, they run a wand over it that has a stream of smoke.
Yep.
They can watch the air patterns and, you know, where's high pressure, low pressure, et cetera. And, you know, where's some disturbance. And, also, they can do check load aerodynamic, you know, as far as how much pressure is put on each wheel
per inch
at speed,
as well.
And yeah, exactly. And they just increase the speed as if it were going down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So, 55-mile-an-hour wind simulates what it would be like on the highway at 55 miles an hour.
See, and I think that's super cool. I kind of want one of those as a souvenir.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe a Monte Carlo.
You know what? That'd be awesome. I'm sure that those mock-ups have been destroyed. Or are already sitting.
You want to hear a little something intriguing?
Yes.
This is, and I'll keep it brief because this is just throwing it out there. It's a possibility.
Put me on the game, man.
Highland Park, Michigan used to be the headquarters for Chrysler. And, you know, when I first started working in that group, I was down there often, and as was a former boss later in life.
Mm-hmm.
He also worked for Chrysler and still does. He claims that towards the end of the days when, you know, they were ready to tear down the Highland Park facility and they were going to build the tech center, which is out in Auburn Hills, Michigan, which is enormous.
Okay.
This is the one that's like the Pentagon size or bigger.
Oh, yeah,
building. He claims that he found actually, he doesn't even claim it. He was telling me about some of the underground tunnels that are down there. And I know that they're there because I had been in the buildings before. Mm. I just had never explored them. He apparently had explored them. You know, they go between buildings and there's, you know, outlets that go off to the side to who knows where, you know, locked doors. Some are unlocked, apparently. He found a few on, you know, various lunch hours that were unlocked. And there were rooms full of drawings and scale model cars from long, long ago. Wooden models, metal models, you know, that type of thing.
Awesome.
But the thing is, they were tearing down the buildings all around this thing. It was almost like these are forgotten, like crypts almost underneath the property.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how deep or what's on that property now at this point. You know, if they've dug down past that and it's been destroyed, or if they did find those and empty them, or if all that stuff is still preserved down there, I don't know.
In which case, we cannot wink, wink, nudge, nudge, legally say that it would be a good idea to find that.
No, that would be trespassing, and you shouldn't do that.
You should not do that.
No, exactly. Do not do that. But I'm just throwing it out there that it's a possibility it may still be there. Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Oh, that's awesome.
And there's probably there may be a lot more of that going on, you know, of course, all over the U.S.
And I'm glad you talked about the older models pointing out that they're wood.
Yeah.
Because when we talk about scale model cars, you know, it's sort of this human habit to take everything that we have and everything that we have in ordinary life and sort of make a smaller representation of it. Typically, it starts out for children, you know, like lead soldiers, tin soldiers, and then of course, horses, animals. So naturally, when we get scale model cars, it's because cars have been invented. And it's funny to me because growing up with these, it never occurred to me that, you know, there were people I had met in my life who were around before cars were invented. And so these scale model cars to them were like the newest toy.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, and, definitely. Yeah, go ahead. Didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I'm trying to, because there's, remember that thing you showed me off air?
Yeah, we'll get to it.
I'm kind of waiting for the end on that one.
There's an interesting thing that everybody needs to see, I think, and we'll bring that up at
we'll
the end.
We'll hold that till the end.
But one quick thing.
Yeah.
Did you say lead soldiers?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Did you play with lead soldiers when you were a kid?
No.
Are you sure?
No. I'm 98%
never
sure.
Never mind. Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I understand. The other 2% you've lost memory of.
Well, I'm from the hills, man, so yeah.
All right. I'll move on.
I've got madness.
So just ballpark. I mean, you can get some of these cars, like the 118 scale cars, you can find them for $10.
Sure.
You know, if you go to certain retailers.
Yeah.
You can also find them for several hundreds of dollars if you go to a place like the Franklin Mint. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, they have exact replicas with, you know, the correct wire coloring going to the motor and everything is.
And they're authorized, authenticated reproductions.
Exactly. So expect to pay, you know, anywhere between, this is what I mean, this is strange, anywhere between $10 and several hundred dollars for this. My range of comfort in that was between like 30 and 80 something.
You paid $80 for
it? Yeah, I did, and that was a long time ago, yeah. And
is it
that
worth
was
it?
For, it was, yeah. I still look at those models, and it's amazing. I love to look at them. They're like a small sculpture, piece of artwork that I can put out somewhere. Some of the other ones, like when you talk about the bigger scale.
Said it gets more expensive as we go farther up.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I won't mention like the 43rd scale. Those are a little smaller and a little bit less detail in most cases.
Sure.
But again, you can go to the opposite end of the spectrum where they have more detail and they're more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get up into like the 12th scale cars, the 8th scale cars, you can expect to pay, well, let's see, for the 12th scale cars, which are relatively big.
Yeah.
You can expect to pay several hundred dollars for just an entry-level type vehicle if you're going to get one of these.
Okay, so that's
a
base price.
Just a model. And we're talking about something you put on a shelf and look at, admire. It's not something a kid would bang into another car. Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
Yeah. And if you get up to like 1/8 scale cars, which are relatively, you know, pretty big, you can expect to pay several thousands of dollars for those models.
Could you fit a kid in there?
Nope. Okay. Nope, not in a 1/8 scale car. No, you wouldn't be able to do that. In fact, 1/8 scale car, I don't have any. Oh, yeah. You have to get up into like the 2/3 area for like a small kid to drive one.
Okay, for and someone to actually fit in.
Almost like a go-kart, you know, with like a small motor and, you know, they have that type of vehicle as well.
They
are
do.
Exact replicas, but they're 2/3 scale.
Mm-hmm.
They get up even bigger than that and you'll expect to pay again, several thousands of dollars for that, if not tens of thousands of dollars. When you get up to like 2/5 scale, then you're talking about, what's like $20,000 for AI. Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a really well done piece of art, you know.
I guess it is handmade.
Yeah, exactly. They're handmade. And, I mean, you can go to Neiman Marcus and buy a 1/8 scale car. That you could look this up online right now if you wanted to. They've got a McLaren F1 LM model car that sells for $4,700.
Wow.
That's a 1/8 scale, so it's pretty big. It comes in papaya orange only, which is a tribute to Bruce McLaren. And they also have a Ferrari FXX and a Lamborghini Revenson. So,
now,
okay.
I don't want to steal your thunder, my podcast partner, but riddle me this. What would people use this for if you get this F1 for $4,700?
Yeah.
What
you put
purpose?
That on your mahogany desk and admire it, as do all of your clients who enter the office.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, really, if you're a collector of something like this, that would be a centerpiece of your display. That may be the focal point of the room. You know, if you have a room that's dedicated to something like this, or in a garage that you have exotic cars or vintage cars or whatever you have, you may put this up on a wall in a covered case.
Mm-hmm.
Just it's something to look at and admire the skill and craftsmanship, you know, that went into it. And you know, if you can't afford the $1 million McLaren, then here's a way to spend less than $5,000 and get one.
Okay, you see, when you put it that way, now you're speaking my language.
But there is a company that Let's see. I'm trying to find a note here, but there's a company called, here it is, Amalgam.
Amalgam Motor Cars.
Do you know this one?
I ran against them in some of our research.
Okay.
You go. You take this.
All right. They build large-scale models. In fact, they have several 1/5 scale Ferraris. They have a quarter scale Ferrari 458 Italia, which I think is pretty cool. But they do other things. Mm-hmm. They do F1 cars, yachts, engines, which are unbelievable.
Right.
They do helmets. They do steering wheels. They do all kinds of things. But, again, you're talking about several thousands of dollars for these cars just as they are. And you have to order them well ahead of time to ship by, you know, the end of that year when you order one. And you can have them personalized if you want them painted certain ways. You want interior packages that are different than what they advertise. All of that can be done. But, you know, you have to pay additional for that.
Sure.
But expect, again, several thousands. You're getting into the, you know, $10,000 mark.
Something you said here piques my interest and hopefully our listeners' interest as well.
Mm-hmm.
You said engines.
Engines, yeah.
Now, we're talking working engines when we're talking about.
Well, this one we're not.
This one we're not.
But there are scale – There are several makers now that will make V8 engines, V10 engines, V12 engines. I mean, every engine you can imagine that actually runs on the stand. And they're incredible to look at. They're beautiful. Really well done. And should we just go ahead and hit them with this right here? Oh, quick thing.
Yeah.
There's one final thing that we want to get to. But I want to mention another scale that maybe you haven't heard of.
All right.
This is a small scale, very small scale, and I had no idea this was out there. 1/87th scale.
What?
Cars and trucks.
Really?
And whatever, other
How?
Models. Yeah, I'll show you. I'm going to show you a picture. Now, these are 1/87th scale. It's a picture of a motorcycle and a car. And just to give you an idea of the size, you can keep that.
Wow.
There's a penny next to this motorcycle and a penny next to, it looks like a hot rod of some kind. Model A, maybe something like that.
Mm-hmm. It's a hot rod Model A, and it looks to be a Harley motorcycle.
Yeah, I think it is. And the Harley is standing upright, and so is the Penny.
And the Penny is taller than the Harley.
The Penny is much taller than the Harley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there's a reasonable amount of detail in that model.
Yeah, there is.
I mean, it's a small, it probably, I bet the wheel span, if you put it on top of that Penny, it might not overhang the Penny at all.
You know, I gotta say, man, this reminds me of, have you ever been to Ripley's, Believe It or Not?
Yes.
You know where they have the tiny grains of rice only rice where they've got carvings? This reminds me of this sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. This is extremely precise work. And there's a whole group, of collectors out there that are into these 1/87th scale models and the level of detail that is put into these. They have all different types of photographs of, you know, semi truck trailers, like the old Coca-Cola haulers. Mm-hmm. They've got, just unbelievable amount of product out there. I mean, motorcycles, cars, hot rods, trucks, you know, heavy hauling trucks. They've got everything. There's farm implements. I saw some really cool farm machinery that, you know, each individual, track, I guess, you know, if it's a track like a tank would have. You know, you can see the detail in the tread on the tank. It's unbelievable. These are great, as far as something to collect or to have. They're expensive because there's a lot of work that goes into them.
Yeah.
But they're very, very small and very, 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 very detailed.
And you can carry your entire collection in a briefcase.
That's right.
However, Scott, and this is one of the main objections that, one of my cousins had to model cars when they were younger. You can't run them. They don't actually run.
Ah, yes.
And would that I could travel back in time to tell this kid about the last thing.
Yeah. Yeah, this really cool thing that we stumbled on this online.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm judging by the number of hits this thing has on YouTube, I'm going to guess that a number of our listeners have seen this already. But
probably, yeah.
But this is pretty awesome. It is a very old episode of Top Gear. It's a Top Gear feature with Jeremy Clarkson. He's narrating, interviewing someone. And if you want to search for this video, search for this exactly and you'll find it. Ferrari 312 PB replica scale model. And you won't believe what you see in this.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you watched it, right?
I watched it.
What do you think?
I watched it. Our producer, Matt, watched it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when I see levels of skill taken to that degree, Scott, I start to wonder what I'm doing with my life.
That's right. All that TV watching.
Yeah. You know, I don't even watch television
just
that much.
Just wasting your time reading.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this Ferrari is tiny and perfect.
It's a race car.
I'm going to go ahead and say it. It's a real car.
It is.
It's just like this Lilliputian version of a real car.
It's a real car, and I never did get the scale number on this. I don't know what scale it is, but it's big.
I didn't see it either.
It looks ballpark 1/8 scale, maybe 1/12 scale. I think it's 1/8 probably.
And that's what he had to do because he built a working engine.
Yeah, that's the fascinating part about this. This isn't a model that this guy put together.
Mm-mm.
This is a model that the guy built.
Every
single piece of this car he built by hand in a machine shop. It took him, and I've got a few numbers here, but there's this whole interview with him, so, you know, watch it and you'll get it. But, mm-hmm. And just one quick thing, the audio doesn't start until about 20 seconds in, so don't think that you're watching a bad version of it or something. But, it's really fascinating. The guy's a telecom engineer. He spent 20,000 hours on this model. That gives you an idea of how mm-hmm. important this was to him. He made every single part himself. It took him 3 years just to make drawings that he had, you know, created from photographs of the actual car that he saw.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's what drove him, is that when he was a kid, he went to see this car race. And he called it the Ferrari Music, I think is what he called it. And he said he longed to have that somehow around him all mm-hmm. the time, and he couldn't afford the real car, of course, but so he decided to make his own. It took him 3 years to make the drawings, 12 years to build the model, so a total of 15 years he has tied up in this project. And before you think that it's maybe not worth it, you should take a look at this video. It's mm-hmm. pretty awesome.
And we should say in full disclosure, Scott, I think it's fair to say that you and I are both the kind of guys who would rather see one thing done really well than 10 things done average.
Correct.
And so I think that's why we're so on the same page with this fellow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He made it so authentic that, I mean, he built he designed and built the engine himself. It's mm-hmm. the Ferrari engine. It's a 100cc, and of course, much scaled down, 100cc.
Right.
It's a flat 12, fuel injected, dry sump, 24 valve, V12 engine, or not V12, flat 12 engine.
Somehow.
That really works. It really works. And the thing is, because it's scale, and everything is scale, he made the tiny little exhaust exactly like the Ferrari exhaust. He made, every bit inside the engine just like the Ferrari would be. It sounds identical to the Ferrari 312 PP.
Which would be Ferrari Music.
Exactly. And the cool thing is, Ben, did you see the part where he has a key in the ignition and he turns the key?
Yeah, with the tweezers.
Yeah, and the lights work. The dash lights up and the gauges work. And he made those gauges. He did every bit of this car.
It's crazy,
man.
The
pedals work. He has a gearbox that has 5 speeds with a little gated shifter and a wooden knob. And it even has reverse. The wheels work. So if you could find somebody that's 1/8 scale, they could drive the car.
See, okay, that's the perfect ending for that one, man. I officially nominate this for favorite scale model car of the show.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Any objections?
No, not at all.
Okay, then we've gone ahead, we've done it, we've made it official. We've got to say before we head out, there are probably some people wondering, why aren't you guys doing Matchbox cars?
Yeah.
We can't give you any spoilers, but we feel like maybe that's a separate thing.
I think so. Yeah, this is a different level. And Matchbox mm-hmm. does some scale models, mm-hmm. but we're not talking about the kind that you buy in the little blue packet with a little plastic case over.
Right.
They make other types of models too.
Sure.
So I'm not discounting that at all. I'm just saying that we may talk about Matchbox in the future.
You'll have to stay tuned to find out. And to our listeners there, thanks for tuning in, guys. Are you a car collector, a scale model car collector? Do you have any particularly crazy stories about that? If you do, feel free to find us on Facebook or Twitter, Car Stuff. Feel free to drop a line on our awesome blog on howstuffworks.com. Or you can always cut out the middleman and email us directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
We'll be right back.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.